Continuing our study on the church covenant, this morning we spoke about the covenant itself, or about what covenant means. It means essentially making a promise, say contract, if you will, between two or more parties that they will perform or not perform a certain thing. We looked at the example of the everlasting covenant that the Godhead, that was formed within the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, covenanting together to bring about the eternal deliverance of His people from their sin and from the wrath due unto that sin. And then we talked about how that God is worthy of our commitment, of our making this promise of commitment to Him and to His church. This afternoon, we'd like to look at one more element of that phrase that we looked at in the covenant this morning, where He says, we covenant and agree. Let me read that statement from the covenant. Let me find it here really quickly. Maybe I can find it. It's in one of these pages. There it is. He says there, we do therefore in the name of our Lord Jesus and by His assistance covenant and agree to keep up the discipline of the church we are members of in the most brotherly affection toward each other while we endeavor to observe the following rules. I want to just talk about agree or agreement, but agree specifically. Here the framers of the covenant say that we do covenant and agree to keep up the discipline of the church that we are members of. So just think about what that means, that we agree. That word agree means to be of the same mind. We are of one mind. You've heard that statement or read that statement several times, I'm sure, in the scriptures. We are together in this covenant. We are of the same mind. We are of one mind. We are together in this covenant. We are unified in our purpose. That's what it means to be in agreement or to agree. We are of the same mind. We are of one mind. One mind, together, those phrases or words we find several times in Scripture. I did not go and look and see how many times they did actually occur, but nevertheless, there are instances in Scripture where there were people who were agreed together, but their agreement to do or not do certain things were not in harmony with God's will. They were, in some cases, they were agreed and came together. They were of one accord and came upon the apostles in one instance. Or they were in one accord. I can remember how that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were two different religious sects among Israel in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were in opposition one to the other. And yet, we find that those two groups of people were in one accord in trying to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So sometimes we can be agreed, but in the wrong things. All right? We see that in our society all the time. We can see that in some of the bills that are passed in Congress. We can see that in when we read various reviews or comments that people make towards something that might be posted on Facebook. We see that in all areas of life. But here, when we talk about when we make a covenant and we agree in this endeavor, this agreement that we have together is for a noble thing. It's for a good thing. All right, is to keep up, as we read, to keep up the discipline of the church that we are members of. I'd like to read a few examples from Scripture and talk about each of these examples a little bit here this afternoon, and be mindful that we've eaten and all that sort of thing. But I'd like to look, first of all, at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Now the scene here, the Lord Jesus Christ has, shortly before this, has ascended back into glory. A cloud has received him out of their sight. And then before he departs this world, he tells the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high, until they receive the Comforter, until they receive the Holy Ghost. So they meet together and they are waiting. We read in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Acts, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." All right, so these all continued with one accord. That phrase, one accord, is what we're talking about. They're of the same mind. Now here in this particular instance, the first thing I'd like to recognize is the fact that they are together in their efforts to pray. They continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Perhaps one of the things that they are praying for is the enduing with power. You say, well, I don't see why they would pray for something the Lord has told them would come. Well, we do that all the time. You know, if we pray according to the will of God, it's the will of God that He endue them with power from on high. You know, so we would pray to that end. All right? We find several examples of that in Scripture. But nevertheless, they are together in this effort to pray. And they are, I'm sure, earnest. They are steadfast in it. But they are of the same mind in this endeavor of prayer. Not only are they of the same mind in this endeavor of prayer, but they are, generally speaking, as far as the church is concerned, that early church, they are of one mind. They all agree in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no division among them. There's no schisms, there's no sects, there's no big I's and little U's, there's no jealousy, there's no rivalry, there's no strifes among them, which, if you'll remember, not too long before this time, the 11 were arguing among themselves which of them would be the chiefest among them when Jesus left. You remember? There was that strife among them. At that time, they were not of the same mind. They were not with one accord. You see, when there is strife, there's contention. Where there's contention, there's chaos. Where there's chaos, there's no peace. There is no concord. There is no unity. All right? And so anyway, we see here how that the church is gathered together and they are all of one mind. They are in one accord. There are no divided interests among them. There's no discord among them. They are all minding, if you will, the same thing. All right? Their purposes. Their purposes there that they are set out on is the same. They're all waiting for the same thing. They're waiting to be endued with power from on high. Now, I don't know how many days it was from when the Lord Jesus ascended back into glory to the day that the Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. I don't know how many days exactly there were. However many days there were, these people continued in this state of being of one accord. All right? They were of the same mind. They continued in that same state of mind. Friday evening, after the General Assembly there at the singing school, I was visiting with this couple that I had not seen for a good number of years. And while I was visiting with them, one of the children was at our feet and she was really being very impatient. And she said things like, "We will never leave," you know, and just different things like that, like a little, you know, 2 or 3 year old, you know, child might say when they're having to do something they don't want to do. But at any rate, she was whining, complaining, "Oh, I want to go, let's leave, let's go, blah, blah, we're never going to leave," and all this sort of thing. This wasn't happening in the church here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. They were in one accord, and they continued in that state until they were endued with power from on high. They didn't murmur, they didn't complain, They didn't, you know, sit back and say, well, when is he going to come? They knew he was coming. They didn't know the day, but they knew he was coming. They continued in that state, if you will, of agreement. Also, they didn't do anything or not do anything that was not in accordance to the Word of God. They were minded to walk according to the will of God. While they're waiting, Peter recalls to mind a scripture found in in Psalm 41, I believe it is, where it speaks about the office of Judas and how he would vacate that office and how that it was written that another one should take that office. So in relation to that, in an effort to honor that scripture regarding the departure of Judas from the bishopric, as it's called there in Scripture, he counsels the church that they look out among them certain men that had continued with them from the days of John the Baptist until this present time, that they might appoint in this particular office, in which case they did. And of course, then they select Matthias, I believe it was, to take his place, to take Judas's place. Well, again, when they were doing this, they were all of the same mind to honor the Word of God. When you're minded to honor the Word of God, to walk in harmony with the Word of God, and when all people in question are of that mind, we're of the same mind. And boy, when we are of the same mind, what peace there is in the fellowship of the church. Okay? All right, let's look at another example of this. We just go to the next chapter in the first verse, where on this very day they are endued with this power from on high. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And so forth. So we go on. Yes, you remember how this story unfolds here. They are given the gift of tongues to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in other languages, which they immediately begin in this effort to share the wonderful works of God in these other languages. They're not doing it within the body. They're not just keeping it to themselves now. They're going out and they're sharing these wonderful works of God through Jesus Christ with the thousands that have gathered together in Jerusalem to observe the Pentecost. But notice how all this starts. Notice the state of the church before they're endued with power from on high. They are all with one accord in one place. All right? They are all of like mind. So, they continue in this state. Now, if you continue on through the book of Acts, there are several different things through the Acts of the Apostles that challenge this oneness of mind, this agreement that the church had together. There was the persecution that arose about Saul of Tarsus. There was Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. There was the doctrine of the necessity of circumcision in order to be saved. We read about that in Acts chapter 15. And there's a couple of other instances in which there were challenges made to that unity that there was among the church. But in each case, they met those challenges with the Word of God. Okay? They continued to honor the Lord in walking according to His Word and seeking counsel from His Word, address those issues, and they were in agreement. Okay? They didn't lose that unity that they had. Now we read in several places, like for instance, the blessing of the unity that a church enjoys, the unity itself, the psalmist says in Psalm 133, he says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren Let me read this here. When it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yeah, I got that now. How good and how pleasant it is. The history of Radnor Church has had its ups and downs as far as unity. Thank the Lord, since I've been here, I've not had the experiences that some of you who have been here for much longer have had. But I understand that there have been some difficulties along the way. When there is disagreement, when there is a divided interest, when there is schisms, there is not good in the church. The experience that the brethren have together is a woeful experience. It's a lamentable experience. It's a grievous experience. I remember Brother Judge Tripp telling me many years ago, he said, "Boy, there's no trouble like church trouble." Okay? And I've heard brethren talk about years ago, 30 years ago, when I first came into the church, I remember brethren talking about conferences that they regarded as karate conferences. In fact, I had just heard that term again here just a couple months ago when I was out in at a meeting. A brother had mentioned, you know, that term, karate conferences. Thankfully, I've never experienced one of those so-called karate conferences, but I have heard about those experiences. And you know, I've heard of experiences where people have threatened to come to blows. I mean, it would get that bad in a church conference. That is lamentable. That's certainly not unity in a situation like that. The Word of God is far from a person's mind when they're in that frame of mind. You know, we read in Proverbs, "Only by pride cometh contention." When you got two people who are arguing with one another, you can rest assured that pride is at the root of the argument. There, it might be disguised by, you know, some particular doctrine or whatever, but at the bottom of it, if they're arguing, if the contention is sharp, pride's at the bottom of it. Okay? How good, behold, the writer says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I love it when brethren are at peace with one another. I love it when brethren are in agreement with one another. Man, I feel like sometimes, you know, when I've been around people where I know that me and that person disagree on something, it's like I'm tiptoeing through the tulips. I'm trying not to offend. I'm trying not to stir anything up, you know, in that particular situation. But how good it is, how blessed it is, how wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Amen. It's a peaceful place to be when they are unified, when they are in agreement. And then we read in Amos chapter 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You see, my friends, you and I together here today, I trust, are agreed in our purpose here today and throughout our lives. We want to honor God and His Word. We want to serve Him. We want to put Him above everything in our lives. We want Him to take priority. We want Him to be our influence, the one who dictates to us how we make our decisions, what we decide, and so forth. We want to honor Him therein. Amen? We're agreed in that. In this covenant, we covenant and agree that we will keep up the discipline of the church that we are members of with brotherly affection toward one another. We are agreed. We read, and I'll close with this verse. In fact, I'm going to read a couple more verses with this one. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." And then this is the verse I want: "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That word endeavor carries with it the idea of work. I remember reading a term in the book, The Disciplines of a Godly Man, written by R. Kent Hughes. I think I've got his name right. Where he talks about, you know, in being disciplined in your walk with the Lord. Being disciplined in your discipleship. That it requires holy sweat. You've got to dig deep and you've got to press on in the kingdom of God. There are times there where you're going to meet with challenges, you're going to meet with difficulties, and you just got to dig in there and say, for the love of Christ, for the love of God, I'm going to do this thing. And by His help, I'm going to do this thing. My friends, this one thing we're talking about here this afternoon is the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, in order to maintain this unity, it's got to be all wrapped up in the bonds of peace. In our covenant, it speaks about keeping up the disciplines of the church, keeping up the discipline of the church with brotherly affection. Now, when we're all walking to the same drumbeat, as it were, that makes for a peaceful church, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
When we're all walking to the same drumbeat, we're walking in the same spirit, the spirit of love, it makes for a peaceful church. I marvel. I praise the Lord for it. I'm so thankful for it. Probably not thankful enough. But thankful that when we go into a conference, majority of the times, 10 minutes, we're done.
Yeah.
I don't remember any conferences that probably took more than 20 minutes. And only then did it take that long because we had certain items that we had to do in honor of our church decorum.
Yeah.
You know? Thank God for the peace of the church.
Amen.
I'm thankful that when Brother Dan stands up and asks for the peace of the church, for people to make acknowledgments, or to, as it were, maybe air their grievances. There are none. I'm not going to say that there's not any, but I'm thankful that there have not been any aired. That there is peace in the church. Friends, that peace and unity that we enjoy, let's not take it for granted. And let's be diligent. Let's work hard to keep it. Okay? Let's continue to be in agreement. And the way we'll be in agreement is if we all hover around this and seek to honor the Lord in His Word, then we'll continue to have that unity and that peace that we enjoy today. May the Lord add His blessing.